Jesus, Holy Mary, Mother
Holy
of
Mary,
God,
Mother of God,
pray
pray
for
for
us
us sinners,
sinners
now
now
and
and at
the
the
hour
hour
of
of
our
our
death.
death.
Amen.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so the second conference I'll be building upon the first one is this. In the 1800s, there was a nun that was in a room at night, and she had a visitor. Someone tapped her and told her to get up and to go into the church. So she went to the church, and she saw the Blessed Mother, who was sitting in a chair. And she beckoned this nun to come close to her, and she knelt down, and she started to talk to the Blessed Mother. It was a long, beautiful conversation. And the nun, the name of this nun is now, her name is Saint Catherine Laboure. And Saint Catherine Laboure received from Mary the message to promote what is called the Miraculous Medal. And it's going to be one of the most famous Marian devotions in the history of the church, the Miraculous Medal. And what Catherine of Laboure, Saint Catherine Laboure, did was she had a heart-to-heart conversation with Mary. That's what all of you want to strive for, is having a heart-to-heart conversation with Mary. Pray your rosary, but have a heart-to-heart conversation with Mary. And you can do that whenever you want. So that would be the finishing touch of the conversation we had about an hour ago. Today we're going to be moving, right now we're going to be moving into another topic, which is building upon the first topic. And it's this. The Vatican II Council, which concluded in the early 60s, started by Pope John the 23rd, then he died, and then Pope Paul the 6th took his place, finished one of the most important councils in the history of the church. It's called Vatican II, from which you have 16 documents. Of these documents, there are four dogmatic constitutions. One is De Verbum. Another one is Sacrosanctum Concilium. Another one is Gaudium et Spes. And the last and the most important of these documents is Lumen Gentium. Lumen Gentium has 8 chapters. And the 5th chapter of Lumen Gentium is the universal call to holiness. The universal call to holiness, what does that mean? Means that all of us are called to holiness. All of us are called to become great saints. I'd like to mention the universal call to the three H's. The universal call to holiness, the universal call to happiness, and the universal call to heaven. I repeat, the universal call to holiness, the universal call to happiness, and the universal call to heaven. I'd like to focus upon the second one now in this talk. The universal call to happiness. All of us, everyone in the world, the 7.5 billion people that live in the world, are called to happiness. We all want to be happy. I'm sure none of you got up, you get up one day a week, maybe it's Monday, and say, today is the day I want to be sad. I don't think you've ever done that before. So Sunday's all over, you get up on Monday, this is the day I want to be sad. So keep away from me. Keep me at arm's length. Better said, a country mile. I don't think any of you have ever done that. Now, why is it that if everyone wants to be happy, you have so many sad saps today out there in the world, as we say in New York, a sad sap? Why is it that we have so many people that instead of spreading happiness, they are, as they say in Argentinian Spanish, cara de vinagre. They got a vinegar face, huh? Why? And the reason being is, I'll tell you a story, then I'll tell you the reason why so many people are not happy. Then I'd like to give you the secret to happiness, so that you can be spreading happiness far and wide. And the story goes like this. There was a Baptist minister in Memphis, Tennessee, and he was preaching one of those fire and brimstone homilies as the Baptist ministers do. And he had a problem that a lot of the ladies in the church were complaining because their husbands were drinking too much. So the Baptist minister started his homily, he said, if I had all the beer in the world, I would throw it in the river. And the people were kind of shocked because he came on so strong. Then he said, if I had all the whiskey in the world, I would throw it in the river. Then he said, if I had all the vodka in the world, I would throw it in the river. So he sat down for about a minute. Then the choir master got up and said, for our closing hymn, let us sing, let us go to the river joyfully. I thought you'd like that one. I thought you'd like that one. He wanted to go to the river joyfully. And that's the primary reason why people are not happy today. It is because they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. And when you're dealing with people in the Legion of Mary, irrespective of the person can even be an agnostic or an atheist or can be a Jehovah's Witness. Everyone in the world wants to be happy. But they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. We can't go to the river and find happiness with the whiskey, the wine, and the beer. Now, we can buy pleasure, but you cannot buy happiness. The Beatles used to sing, "Money can't buy me love," right? So, we can buy pleasure. You can buy a whiskey, you can buy a pizza, you can buy drugs. And that produces pleasure. Pleasure depends upon the external stimulus. But true happiness, true joy comes from within. So I'd like to, I'm going to give you a summary of a movie and extrapolate from that movie on developing my topic on the universal call to holiness, to happiness, and to heaven. And I think they're all related, the three H's. We're called to be holy, we're called to be happy, we're called to go to heaven. And it's this. About 10 years ago, a movie came out in the public theaters. And the movie was made by a movie company called Los Dos Corazones. If you speak Spanish, it would be the two hearts, the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. And the movie first came out in Spanish, then it was done in English. In Spanish, it's called El Gran Milagro. Maybe some of you have seen it. It would be probably one of the best movies you can give for a parish retreat in preparation for First Communion and Confirmation. We've actually done that. It actually came out in public theaters in the Norwalk Theater and the Anaheim Theater here in California, no? And so I'd like to give you just a brief summary of it and show how this movie is a message on happiness as well as the lack of happiness. Some of you have probably seen the movie. How does this start out? It starts out by three unhappy people. It starts out by three unhappy people. Why were they unhappy? Well, two of them were widows. And the other was a middle-aged man. One widow, Doña Cata, was probably in her 80s, an older widow, with a deep faith, but with a lot of loneliness. Then you had another widow, Doña Monica. She was a young widow with a son who was about 12 years old, Diego. Then there was the bus driver, and he was driving his bus through the city, and he was sad because one of his sons was dying of terminal cancer. The three of them were sad because they were carrying this heavy cross by themselves. We're going to see now how their sadness was turned into happiness. What happened? Well, these three individuals had an encounter that would change their lives. They encounter their guardian angel. Their guardian angel All of us have a guardian angel. The three guardian angels lead them all to the same place. Where did the guardian angel lead them? Remember the movie? To the church. Yes, they were led to the church. And once they enter into the church, things change. And the guardian angel sits next to the three of them, Monica, Catalina, and Don Cheno. And what the guardian angel does is he starts to explain to them what is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. From the very beginning of the Mass all the way through the Mass. Okay, now what I'm going to suggest for all of you, if you want to experience holiness and happiness and heaven, it depends upon your giving yourself to Mary. Mary's our life, our sweetness, and our hope. She's the cause of our joy. But also, our holiness, our happiness, and our heavenly reward depends a lot upon the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Yes. Upon the holy sacrifice of the Mass. You know, a Legion of Mary is called to be a missionary. We're all called to be missionaries. Do you know the biggest religious group in this country? The biggest religious group in this country, as well as the Philippines, as well as Mexico, is non-practicing Catholics. Isn't that sad? If you go to the Philippines, you go to Mexico, you go to Argentina, all South America, you go to the United States, the biggest group in this country are non-practicing Catholics. Why? It's all related to my topic today. Do you think if these non-practicing Catholics really understand what the Mass is, they would become Jehovah's Witnesses? Or Mormons? Or born-again Christians? I'm a born-again Christian. I was baptized. But the primary reason why you have these lost, wandering sheep is because they never understood what the Mass is. They never understood what the Mass is, or they forgot what the Mass is. Either they never had a good catechesis, you know, the catechesis has been in crisis for 60 years, right? Good catechesis is lacking. Anyone really understood what the holy sacrifice of the Mass is, they would never become Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. Did you know that most Jehovah's Witnesses, they used to be Catholics? Did you know that most Mormons used to be Catholics? You know what they say is, well, we found the right religion now. We're Jehovah's Witnesses. We finally found the right religion. Because of a lack of catechesis. So, what I'd like to talk to you about today is that as legionaries, obviously you believe in the Mass. I hope you do. But how much do you really believe in the Mass? Face it, be honest. Our knowledge of faith in the Mass, sometimes it grows cold. And probably because of the pandemic, it's probably grown a little bit cold. Now is the time to fan the flame. Now is the time to fan the flame. One of the most fervent Catholics I've ever met was a woman who 2 days ago celebrated her 90th birthday. 90th birthday. She's been a daily communicant for about 75 years. Her name is Joan Marie Broom. She happens to be my mother. With the 9 kids, 39 grandchildren, she's really on fire with the love of God. She's 90 years old. But how about that? Are any of you daily communicant for 75 years? Some of you are probably not even 74 yet, huh? And if you were to ask her, why is it that she has so much joy and love for God? She said, because I love the Mass. I love the Mass, I live the Mass, I thrive on the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So your happiness will depend in large part upon what is your understanding of the Mass, how do you participate in the Mass. And look, you're legionaries. One of the most important missions that you have. Are you listening? One of the most important missions that you have is to bring people back to Mass. That is one of the most important missions of the Legion of Mary. Bringing people back to church, bring them back to the Mass. Work on that. Pray over it. I'm doing all I possibly can to bring as many people back to the Mass as possible. You can do it. But a lot of it depends upon your conviction. This is what I'll sometimes say to people, and I'll say it to you. What would happen if I told you, if you came to meet me tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the morning, and no shaking hands, but just bowing to each other, social distancing, if you bowed to me, I would give you $5 billion. You'd probably come from San Francisco or Tucson, Arizona, or maybe Cebu, or maybe Manila, Well, maybe un chilanga from la Ciudad de Mexico, huh? But you want the $5 billion. But what would happen? They said, hey, Legion of Mary, tomorrow I'm going to celebrate the Mass for you at 4 o'clock in the morning. No, Father, I'm too tired. I got to get my beauty sleep, otherwise I'll scare people away. Ah. But one Mass, one Holy Communion, is worth more than the whole created universe. Do you believe it? One Mass, one communion is worth more than the whole created universe, because the Mass, we encounter God. Are you Catholics or Protestants? Hopefully you're Catholics. We believe in the real presence, not a symbol. We believe in the real presence. About 10 years ago, I celebrated my Silver Jubilee. You know what the Silver Jubilee is? I celebrated my 25th anniversary as a priest. I was ordained by John Paul II. For that reason, I have holy hair. I'm a walking relic. My barber holds on to my hair. She's going to make relics of my hair. Because John Paul II ordained me, I've got a holy head. Hopefully holy brains too. But for my anniversary, I got a lot of gifts. But my favorite gift was, it was like a little piece of paper. And it opened up and it said, for your 25 years as a priest, I have offered 25 masses. Love, Mom. Hey, that's a good mom, huh? She could have sent me a Milky Way bar or some See's candy. Or maybe a New York Yankee baseball hat. But much better are the 25 masses. Our 25 masses. So, all of you, if you really want to be happy, you really want to be holy, you really want to get to heaven, the holy sacrifice of the Mass is the key to holiness, to happiness, and to heaven. Amen? Holy sacrifice of the Mass is the key to holiness, to happiness, and to heaven. There is so much that I can say on this, because I love the Mass, and that's why I'm a priest, is I'm going to make one suggestion to really upgrade your Mass. Because the holy sacrifice of the Mass has infinite value. Infinite value. But to understand this, I'm going to teach you a little basic sacramental theology. This is a little bit basic sacramental theology. Don't be afraid of theology. It's good for you. It's called the theology of dispositive grace. What does that mean, Father? Well, I'll tell you. Dispositive grace means, with respect to the grace that you receive from Mass and Communion, it depends on your disposition. In other words, the better the disposition, the more abundant the graces, the more abundant the holiness, and the more abundant the happiness. And already every Mass, heaven comes down to earth so that earth can be united to heaven. Amen? Heaven comes down to earth so that earth can be connected to heaven. Like you've got a bridge. Letty's got a bridge there, right? So we got a bridge. The bridge between heaven and earth is the Mass. You want to make sure that you cross that bridge. You cross that bridge. So I'm going to give you one suggestion on how we can really live out the Mass to the fullest. We have to prepare ourselves. Then after Mass, we give thanksgiving. So preparation for Mass, living out the Mass, and giving thanksgiving for the Mass is the secret to happiness, holiness, and arriving at heaven. I said to you earlier that I am a student of hagiography. That's a big college word, isn't it? You like these big college words? What does hagiography mean? Hagiography is the study of the saints. Listen to this saint. It's all related to the topic of the Mass. There was a saint that was born in Lebanon. And he became a Maronite monk. A contemplative Maronite monk. And he asked permission of his superior if he could celebrate the Mass at 12 noon, the same time I'm celebrating Mass for all of you. How privileged you are. How privileged you are. He wanted to celebrate the Mass at 12 noon. I know what you're thinking. That guy just wanted to sleep in, huh? He just wanted to sleep in until 10:30 or 11. No. That's not the reason. He wanted to celebrate the Mass at 12 noon because he would spend the whole morning in preparation for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The whole morning. So he'd be spending probably 6 hours preparing himself for the Mass. What do? We come 6 minutes late for the Mass. Equally. The other way around. Then he participated in the Mass, as Vatican II says, participating fully, actively, and consciously in the Mass. And then, the rest of his day would be spent in thanksgiving. So his whole day was focused on the holy sacrifice of the Mass. This whole day was focused on the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Okay, none of you are monks. None of you are Kermit the Hermit that forgot his permit, right? But all of us are called to be holy, happy, and heaven-bound. So my suggestion for all of us is the following. If you read through the documents of Vatican II, you're going to come across a theological concept which is called the different forms of the priesthood. There is what is called the common priesthood of the faithful. Then there is what is called the ministerial priesthood. The common priesthood of the faithful. And the ministerial priesthood. I belong to what is called the ministerial priesthood. I am an ordained priest. I am an ordained priest, so I have an ontological change in me. I have a priestly character that you don't have. But all of you are baptized. Every time a priest baptizes, afterward he anoints the baptized as priest, prophet, and king. Priest, prophet, and king. Now, how do you live out your common priesthood of the faithful? You live it out by living out the Mass. So starting today, when I finish this talk, we're going to have about 10 minutes before the Mass. So you're not going to have too much time to prepare yourself because of my talk almost runs right into the Mass. This might be the first time you've ever done this. And it's this. I want you to offer at least three intentions. And I'm going to be offering the Mass for you. Say, thank you, Father. You're welcome. You're welcome. I thought that I should hear a thank you on your part. So I'm going to offer the Mass for you. Thank you very much, Father.
Thank you.
That deserved a thank you. So I'm going to be offering the Mass for you. I'm going to be offering the Mass for you. So that's my intention. However, all of you can offer your own intentions. And most Catholics do not do this. Most Catholics do not do this. So you, starting today, this is going to upgrade your spiritual life. It's going to help you to grow.
You moved yourself by accident, I think.
Happiness, holiness, and heaven. These are the three intentions that you can offer. And you can offer as many intentions as possible. Well, now you offer Mass, I often have so many intentions, I think that the altar is going to collapse. I'm being facetious now. But you can offer as many intentions as you want.
Father.
Yes. You can offer as many...
Father, I'm not sure if you can hear, but I think you may have muted yourself by accident.
Oh,
it was muted.
Okay, how can I... Okay. Yeah, okay. There we go. You hear me now?
Yes, Father.
Okay, good. Thank you. I was saying that when we offer the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, you want to offer your own intentions. I said that I offer so many intentions that I think sometimes the altar is going to collapse. The altar is going to collapse because they place, for example, I'm going to have 200 people on the altar now, as well as your families. So the altar might even collapse today. but I'll be able to get an architect to build the altar again. I'm joking around with you, no? So these are the three intentions you should always offer. Number one, every time you go to Mass, pray for someone who has passed away. Pray for a soul in purgatory. Praying for a soul in purgatory is very pleasing to God, and those in purgatory, they depend upon us and upon God's mercy. My father died 4 years ago, and I still pray for him. He was a very good man, but I still pray for him frequently. So that's a great act of charity. Your second intention. All of us in our family, our blood family, our extended family, we all know someone who has walked away from God. He is a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter, a lost sheep, has basically given up the practice of his faith. One of the best things you can do is to place that person on the altar in the Mass. And then when I lift up the chalice, I lift up the paten, which is the body and blood of Christ, I'm lifting up that person that you placed on the altar. That is probably the most efficacious means by which we can bring wandering souls, prodigal sons, lost sheep, back to the Good Shepherd. Because many of you go to Mass, maybe even daily Mass, but you could all receive millions of graces that are there for your taking. But we have to learn how to live the Mass. We have to learn how to live the Mass. The Mass has infinite value. For example, if you go to the house of a very, very rich person, he asks you, what would you like? Whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. You say, well, I'd like to have one penny. So I give you a penny. I go and I say, well, I would like $10 billion. So he gives me the $10 billion. You got one penny. I got $10 billion because you asked for one penny. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Whoever asks receives, whoever seeks finds, whoever knocks, the door will be open. We receive little because we ask for little. Let me tell you this. Maybe you think I'm too extravagant. But when I say Mass, I'll sometimes tell the Lord, Lord, I pray that because of this Mass, a million souls will be saved. Do you think I'm asking for too much? What do you think? I'm asking that through this Mass, I'm going to ask for this Mass, I'll be praying for you, but I'm going to be praying that a million souls will be saved. God's power is limited by our lack of faith. Remember the movie Little Boy? God can move mountains. God can move mountains, the highest mountains, if we allow Him to move the mountains. The last thing, and then we'll get ready for Mass, the last thing that you can do in offering your own offerings, placing them on the altar, on the paten, we should pray for ourselves. Because we're all sinners. We're all in need of conversion. So every time you go to Mass, beg for this grace. That God, every Mass, will give you a spiritual heart transplant. You can see in my studio, there's a beautiful image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in my office here. Beautiful image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But that's a symbol. Every time you go to Mass, when the priest consecrates, you have the real presence, the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not as a symbol, but in reality. So beg the Lord that He will transform you, that you will be able to live out what St. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So in conclusion, we have a universal call. We are called to be holy. We are called to be happy. We are called to heaven. And the secret of our holiness, our happiness and heaven is Jesus. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day. So let's ask the Blessed Mother, as we prepare for Mass, to receive Jesus Christ with a lot of love. In sacristies and convents, there's a plaque on the wall for the priest, and it says, Priest, man of God, celebrate this Mass as if it were your first Mass. Celebrate this Mass as if it were your last Mass. Celebrate this Mass as if it were your only Mass. And I say this to you. Participate in this Mass now as if it were your first Mass, your last Mass, and your only Mass. So, within about 10 minutes, I'll be celebrating the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass for all of you so that you'll become holy, happy, and heaven-bound. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So in a few minutes, I'll be starting the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass.
Thank you, Father.
Okay.